This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, welcome to Long Shots here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin coming to you for the Shriners Children's Open taking place down the street from me here at TPC Summerlin in Las Vegas. Kelly, this golf course is the golf course I've played second most in my life. I played the TPC Las Vegas more than I played TPC Summerlin, but
really,
I actually have a well,
that actually surprises me.
I'm a member at the Las Vegas. I'm not a member at the Summerlin. I just have buddies that are members at the Summerlin, and so I go over and play it quite often with them.
It's good to have friends with boats and with good golf memberships.
Yes, exactly. And you know, so we get a course that I'm actually very, very familiar with. And you know, the more that I kind of got into golf and the more that I started to understand the nuance of the difference between a normal golfer and these superhumans that we call pro golfers, you understand why they go out and just absolutely destroy this course. And so I'm sure as you started to do your modeling and things and whatever, like, we probably are expecting some pretty good scores, though. We should say this right off the top.
Yeah.
As we record this on Wednesday, you said there's been a pretty good shift in weather here in Vegas.
Yeah, I was doing my most of my handicapping Monday, really checked the weather. And by weather in Vegas, we're really just talking wind is a factor, obviously. And we have seen this tournament get impacted by the wind before, and it make it much, much tougher to play. So yeah, I was kind of doing my handicap on Monday night, you know, just some, you know, we had to shuffle around some of the podcast stuff. So we haven't recorded one of these this late in the week in a while. And man, just getting done with the numbers game this morning and catching a couple of tweets about from the great golf Twitter feed and the folks I have set up there. I wish I could give credit to one individual person, Matt, but I don't remember who I saw it from. So I immediately went and checked the weather and I'm like, oh, this looks like we might actually have a wave advantage Thursday with the early starts on Thursday and late starts on Friday, because winds kick up to, now I'm using the airport wind finder, but so you're a solid what 30, you know, almost 20-30 minutes west of the airport, but still we're looking at sustained winds and 20-25 mile an hour in the afternoon on Thursday with gusts up to 37, I see, and then it kind of carries over into Friday morning. Calms down a little bit in the afternoon on Friday, but I mean, Matt, this is, we're going to get into the course and everything, I know, but this is not a tournament I heavily bet, and I'm kind of regretting the couple of the bets that I made so far now that I'm looking at this wind and might need to be adding some as we talk through this.
Yeah, it does look like there will be a good amount of wind, and that is the defense of this course, because there are severe penalty areas if you are way too wayward on your drives. Now, the thing is, it's pretty generous fairways, and certainly for these pros, like, it's nothing that they're too worried about in normal conditions. I've seen some of the guys out there playing, and they're just, you know, destroying this thing. However, ball moves weirdly when there's 25, 35 mile an hour winds. I see stuff out here saying there could be gusts up to 40, Kelly, and so the penalty areas here are actual rocks that is just the ball's out of bounds, and you just, you know, and you're, you know, there's no, like, you know, you see these tree lined courses, it's like, he's forced to punch out, or he's forced to, like, no, the ball, it's dead. Like, so you're out of play, and you have to go and take a drop. So, I mean, this is certainly something to monitor, because you can in fact find yourself in bad positions off the tee strictly based off of the wind. Like I said, if there's no wind, these guys are going to go. If there was no wind on this course, we've seen, I mean, you know, the ridiculously low scores that you can shoot out here, but you know, it's no joke when you're talking 25, 35.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking, you know, on an average for an average tournament here, you're talking about some of the biggest fairways and greens that we're going to see on the PGA Tour all season, as far as width of fairways and then just size of greens. So usually fairways and greens pretty easy to hit, but yeah, like you said, you kind of waste areas, whatever you want to call it, the desert waste areas that you can go to get into if you play way off that, you know, way offline off the tee, you know, and then 92 bunkers too, which, you know, are mainly around the greens, but still you might be struggling with the wind off the tee, and then on your approach shot as well into the greens, those bunkers could come into play for sure. So I've seen 89
of those 92.
there you go. I bet you have.
Yeah, I've seen 89 of those 92. Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen every single one of them.
He spends more time in the sand than David Hasselhoff. I think it's an interesting handicap, and I think it changes things a little bit as me and you are hopping on to record this right now.
So if you and I play this course, it is a 72 par. They play it at a 71 at 7,255 yards. So just understand that while that definitely sounds like a little bit of a meaty course, Kelly, we're also looking at a course that is at 25, 26, 2700 feet of elevation. If you guys have ever played golf out here in the desert, you know, you get a little bit extra carry, you get a little bit extra rollout, you get a little bit extra everything out here. So these guys are going to, in my opinion, drive it long, drive it good, as long as the weather permit. Certainly the weather does slow down over the weekend, so yeah. I expect these scores to go much, much lower over the weekend than it does over Thursday and Friday. Maybe something to keep in mind too, as some of these scores over unders get posted and things like that, Kelly, where you might want to come in and take advantage of the scores on whatever gets posted on a Saturday, Sunday, as opposed to what gets posted on a Thursday and Friday. But as you mentioned, I mean, it's tons of bunkers. There's only four water holes, so not that big of a deal. But if you do miss the fairway too badly, you will be in an area where you cannot play the ball. It's not like, mm-hmm. you're punching out from under a tree and stuff. So think about that. But, you know, historically, we're looking at a course that gives it up and gives it up a ton. And I imagine if this weather doesn't hold, Kelly, then we're going to get another ridiculously, as you and I like to affectionately term them, birdie fests. Mm-hmm. And I think that there will be a birdie fest on the weekend regardless. So not a challenging course. One of the easiest courses you're going to find on tour.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to think, there's other things coming to play here. Just around the green with the bunkers, right? That's not something that I really factored into stuff that I was mm-hmm. modeling this week, because when you do talk birdie fests, okay, if it's tough around the green, that's something to note. But if you know how these guys are going to go so low, I don't weigh it as much, because if I have a guy that's playing around the green too much, he ain't going to be winning anyway. So yep. It's not really something I looked at, but now I'm kind of thinking I might have to plug some of that stuff in if we're looking at this the wind like it might be. So
I'm gonna tell you, I didn't do it either. And my thinking is kind of the same as yours, which mainly is like, look, if they're having to deal with the ground, the green, they're losing.
Right. Like, yeah, you're losing. Like, you got to be on these greens.
Yeah, so it just doesn't matter to me.
These greens are bigger than Matt's house. Matt's got a big house.
Hey, look at you. Rough, not all that bad. I mean, it's bad for recreational players, but it's not bad for, for like pro golfers and stuff and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at big old greens, rough that's not all that bad, and pretty wide fairways as well, 36 yards. So I mean, they're one of the wider ones. So out I there think on tours as well.
Yeah, I think as we're just, and sorry, I mean, we're kind of just talking through this now because this wind's really screwing with my head and kind of some things I looked at. I do think so. This is one where I would normally say distance matters here more than it usually does at other courses. Now, I would say, though, you could look back at who's won recently, and you've gotten a mix of shorter hitters and some bigger hitters because the width of fairways really helps that out, and it's an easy on-approach course. But if we're getting strong winds, distance never hurts you. If you got a strong, more distance off the tee is only going to matter more, if winds are swirling in their face, whatever. So that might be something you might want to look at a little bit more. Other than that, Matt, I think most important things I think you got to look at with how big a greens, opportunities gained, you got to look at proximity to the hole on approach shots. Here you can get thrown. Don't look at something like greens in regulation or something like that too much, because these greens are so big. Most of these guys should be hitting them. What I always do too, right? I bring this up when we talk either really small greens or really big greens, three putt avoidance, right? Three putt avoidance, lag putting, those types of stats. I think you need to look at, and regardless of what the wind's like, that's going to be a factor, and that's something I think you should be weighing pretty heavily this week.
If we look at the odds board here for the tournament, Kelly, it's an interesting, the field is not weak per se for one of these fall swing tournaments.
Yeah, this one always ends up being a little bit better, right? Just because the guys that have connections out here.
Yeah, like, you know, Tom Kim's in the field, Taylor Pendrith, Kitayama, Davis Thompson, Seamus Power, Bo Hosser, Keith Mitchell, Eric Cole. These are all dudes that we talk about. Steven Yeager, Tom Hoagie, Ben Griffin, Adam Hadwin. Like, these are all guys we talk about on a week-to-week basis, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not your upper tier guys, but it is at least these guys that, you know, you and I place bets on basically everyone that I just named at some point over the last year.
Yes.
You know, so in some way, shape or form in all this, but Tom Kim is your overwhelming favorite. Won his 2 years in a row at 12-1, Taylor Pendrith at 22, Kitayama, Davis Thompson, Seamus Power, Bo Hosler, all at 30, Keith Mitchell, Eric Cole, Tom Hoagie, Steven Yeager, Ben Griffin, all at 35. Then you get into the 40-1 range, in which we have a big, large grouping of guys, actually, in Adam Hadwin, Matt McCarty, Jonathan Vegas, JT Poston, Harry Hall, another guy that went to UNLV, Harris English at 40-1, Cam Davis, 40-1 as well. We don't have to go ahead. We don't have to tell you guys. We've mentioned it a lot of times here. Vegas is one of the places where a lot of golfers live. It is, you know, sunshine here and warm here most of the year, so these guys can go out and practice golf and play golf a ton. So there are going to be guys in this field that we'll talk about that do live in Vegas and or played golf in Vegas or live very close and spend a lot of time in Vegas. So there are there's some of that you can take into your handicap as well, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And the Tom Kim's interesting. I just don't know with how low guys can go here. I think 12-1 is really tough to consider. He was basically an immediate cross off.
Immediate cross off mainly too, because at the end of the day, Kelly, like we always say, the courses are what separate these awesome golfers from each other. And on this course, any one of the 30 names that I just named can go 25 under on this over 4 days. Like any one of those guys can. They're
absolutely
that they possess that skill. And so, yeah, it's just not no way, shape or form. Am I ever playing a 12-1 dude in a tournament that like half the field can go super low in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. So I made, I only got three bets. This is another one when we go this big a birdie fest, right? This is.
Let me get to what's in my model, and then we can go into our bets real quick. But
my bad.
But no, it's fine. First and foremost, so just remember, guys, betting on sports, betting on golf in particular, can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan's America's largest injury firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide, more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win for you out there. So for more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets. Again, or you can dial #law, which is #529 from your cell phone. Again, for the people, forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law, #529. On your cell phone. This is in fact a paid advertisement. I did a lot what you did, Kelly, there on your modeling. The only thing I did is I really juiced up the strokes gain on par fives to see if like these dudes are gonna like what these dudes can do on these par fives. There's only three of them, but like all of them are gettable. Who's gonna make eagles on this thing might be a differentiator in all of this. And like I juiced up the birdie or better, like, I mean, birdie or better percentage, and just birdie or better gained. Like I juiced up both of those higher than I ever have maybe before in any sort of tournament. And then just the other one, just the
ops gain, birdie or better, I think both they're correlated. I'm with you. They're jacked up way high for me this week.
And then I just did good drives, like, because I don't care how far you hit it really here, because like most of these dudes, again, in the increased elevation, like you got to think about this, Kelly. If a guy's like, if he's even in the lower tier of the driving distance on tour, he's still 285, you know, whatever. So if you're getting the extra 10 yards per drive here, I mean, he's 300 now. So it's just like,
yeah, and each one,
there's no different, you know. So I'm just seeing who can like keep it kind of relatively in the fairway.
Yeah, and like we said before, unless the wind is crazy, each one of the, you just said, these par fives are reachable in two by the entire field. So, yeah, it's I waited a distance a little bit more, but, yeah, it's we've obviously Tom Kim's won here the last 2 years, so.
Yeah. I don't play from the tees that these guys play from, and I can get to – no, I'm sorry, but, I mean, I can get to these par fives, you know, like in from the – you know, whatever, like the second to last.
You're getting there in two? Look at you.
And so these dudes are definitely getting there.
Yeah, absolutely no offense to your golf game at all, but that is a great thing for listeners to know, I guess. If you can get there in two, yeah, them 20 yards back at the tee boxes or whatever, they're gonna have no problem.
Yeah, they're getting there in two for sure. All right, so what the model spit out for you?
Yeah, I'm gonna go right back. I'm gonna start with a little bit longer shot here. A guy that I've bet twice, I think, during this full swing, and he was a fat, well, both of us did 2 weeks ago, right? A fat withdrawal on a Thursday, JJ Spahn. But he played last week, looked fine, finished T25 in Utah. I was talking a little bit about it with Wes. Wes not with us this week. He's writing a lot for the college basketball betting guide that we got going on at VSiN.com coming out later this week. So we gave him the week off. We had a little bit shuffled schedules around. So Wes, I know, was on him as well, though. I just was talking with Wes. I was like, do you have any concern whatsoever? Because he's still kind of, he's still rating out as one of the best guys for me. And, you know, Wes said he watched him a little bit last week. No concerns really there. He finished T25. So, okay. You know, last 24 rounds, number one on approach, fourth on opportunities gained, fourth on birdie or better in this field. So I went back to JJ Spahn at 45-1. Next up for me, Eric Cole. I did play him 35-1. You know, Matt, we've seen kind of a roller coaster season for him here this year, and we know the one downside of his game that really holds him back sometimes is that accuracy off the tee. Now, we've talked, though, wider fairways that shouldn't come into play as much. Mm-hmm. Maybe the wind kicks his ass, but he is a guy that goes off earlier on Thursday, so I'm feeling a bit better about that. Spahn does go out later in the afternoon, which does concern me a little bit. But Cole was T3 here last year, so it does have some quality finish at this event. I also pulled up his numbers from Sanderson Farms, man. It gained 10.7 strokes tee to green on the field and 10 strokes on approach alone. I thought it was just incredible numbers to see what he did there. So yeah, on Eric Cole, 35-1. The last guy I bet is Cam Davis, who I bet him. I would bet that I said the same thing on this pod last year, Matt, that I bet him then and would say his game seems to just like it should fit this course very well. Finished T7 here last year. He's kind of had a longer layoff, though, so you don't know exactly what you're getting from him. I'm going to say, though, right now on this pod, I've already bet him. I'd probably scratch him off my list, though, now that what I'm looking at with the wind, and he is one of the later afternoon guys on Thursday. So I think I would scratch him off and look at some others. I circled some other guys that rated out pretty highly for me that do tee off early tomorrow. I'm going to let you go through yours first, then maybe we can talk through some of those guys if they're not on your list already.
Just a reminder to everybody out there that's been listening to content from me and Kelly for over a year. This is the 1 year anniversary of the torn calf as on the fielding a punt out there. So yes, this is Kelly. He's doing good now. Doesn't walk with a limp. Everything's good to go. Want everyone to know that the calf is actually back in shape.
That is, it's really scary that we're always going to have an anniversary date on that. Matt and I were ready to go to the course right after doing this. And I had to, I don't know. What did I even do? Went to Matt's couch. He gave me a massage gun, worked it out. That didn't really work well. And then I sat on the couch for like 4 days icing this monster calf. It's terrible.
It was brutal. But again, does not walk with a limp, is healthy. Everything's good to go out there. So one of the things you're going to hear a lot about, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of Vegas residents in this tournament. And that said, Kelly, this has nothing to do with him being a Vegas resident, everything to do with the fact that he ended up number two in my model this week. And it's Seamus Power. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt that it's his home course, I suppose. And, you know, people,
I suppose that as well. Yes.
I mean, people say all the time, like, well, how often are they really playing these courses anyway? Because it's like, you know, they're on tour and they're whatever. And that's a fair argument.
It is.
But like, I'll put it this way. He's out there enough to where I personally have seen him a few different times. So it's like, you know, I imagine he knows the course very, 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 very well. But honestly, that didn't really factor into this, Kelly, for me. It was just he is number two overall in my model. He rated pretty highly in just about every single thing that I put in. Oh, one thing I should say, that I did sprinkle a little bogey avoidance. If we're talking about birdie fest, you don't want dudes making bogeys. Mm. And like, He's actually number one in this field in bogey avoidance in the model for me. So Seamus Power is in the account, but he was not number one in the model. You know who's number one in the model, Kelly? Alex Smalley.
Okay.
Alex Smalley, my number one guy in the model. So he does get a bet for me too, because guess what? He's got pretty long odds. And so long odds connected to a guy that's number one overall in the model for me, then I have to put that dude in the account. If you go in, he is really good on par fives. I already told you, I juiced that up a little bit where I want guys who can go out and do that. He's really good on easy courses as well, which I put into the model as well. So Alex Smalley, Seamus Power. And then the only other one that I put in, and this was strictly a, why is this guy any good? Why do I continue to have this guy pop in the model and stuff? And Kelly, I think Wes has played Matty Schmidt a couple of times.
Yeah, like, he has.
I think he has. But Matty Schmidt is sitting in the fifth position in my model, but attached with like really long odds to his name. And so I just went down the model, played the model with the price that was attached to all of them. If anyone's wondering that, you know, who else was around up there. So Alex Smalley, Seamus Power, Johnny Vegas was third overall, Henrik Norlander, fourth overall, Matty Schmidt was fifth, Patrick Fishburne, sixth, Patton Kizzire was seventh, JJ Spawn, eighth, Joe Highsmith was nine, and then Ben Coles was 10. So that was the top 10 for me over in the model. So any of those guys, if you wanted to throw them in your betting card, they all have pretty decent odds actually attached to them. And then also certainly if you're like making DFS lineups and stuff like that, maybe some guys you want to get in your rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I might. Yeah. Seamus and Smalley, I'm going to have to look at more, because they definitely rated out pretty high for me as well. And you get both of them with earlier tee times on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Smalley's actually, second group off on the 10th tee on Thursday. So that is kind of attractive to me. The other ones that I just kind of circled of guys that rated out pretty highly for me that do tee off early on Thursday. I think me and you have flirted with bets with this guy a couple times. I don't know if we're ready to run back, but he did rate out pretty highly for me. Chan Kim right back up there again. He goes early. Hoffman, I don't think I'm going to be back on my boy Hoff this week, but he did rate out pretty high again for me this week, and he goes off early. Fishburne, you mentioned, I haven't been able to bring myself to bet this guy yet, but he is a guy that did rate out pretty highly before we go and starts early. Taylor Pendrith, another one. Johnny Vegas, you mentioned as well, tees off early as well, and all those guys had rated out pretty highly for me. So I might be following along, I think, definitely on Seamus, and then I might add one or two more of these early guys, at least first round leaders. I think I'm going to probably heavily attack first round leader, those early, some of those early guys.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, and again, just as a reminder, this is one of those tournaments, Kelly, I've told, you know, friends out here of mine who like are going to go watch the tournament, and so they want to like have some action, something like that. I'm like, don't be afraid to bet a long shot in this tournament.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Like
all these dudes are very, very, very good at golf. This is an easy course. They're going to score. It's just who scores the most, you know? And so it's like, if you want to have a ticket on a dude that you just like, and you just like to watch him play, like, it's fine. Like, this tournament at one point had a cut line that set the record, Kelly. Yeah. The cut line at this tournament was 7 under one time.
Seven. That's great.
It was 7 under was the cut line one time at this tournament. So just something to consider as well. Of course, Wes has his article up over at VSiN.com. So be sure and take in that information. If you have not yet become a VSiN Pro subscriber, be sure and do that. We got specials running all over the place. Just type in any word, and I think it'll probably just give you like all the words. Bet is one of them. Money is another. Like any of that, whatever. Like just like type it in. You'll get a deal on becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Kelly, I don't want to speak for you. If anything changes for me, I'll certainly put something on the Twitter machine. But I think I'm probably going to stick with those three dudes. And like you said, maybe scope out the weather situation once it's actually happening, and then maybe make some live plays, because
yeah, I think it's the way to go.
You know, they leave these numbers up even when dudes haven't even teed off yet, you know? And so like, maybe the weather's not near as bad, right?
Yeah, if it's not near, absolutely. This changed a lot in 48 hours. So there's,
So if it's not near as bad, then maybe we come in on some of these afternoon dudes and they hadn't even teed off yet, you know, and like all that. So there's options there.
Yeah, and this is, I think it's a great PSA about the wind for bettors out there. And if you're handicapping golf yourself, I know this isn't going to be super helpful, but like Matt's talking about, like, yes, because of how much it's changed and how big it looked like, it looks like, at least right now, of an impact it could make, I'm going to be waiting until a little later tonight probably to check some stuff. I'll put up at VEASAN.com. But those names, at least that I mentioned early, I think any of those, at least for tomorrow morning, as a first round leader look are a good look.
Kelly, any parting words here? Or are we just going to let people roll?
No, just, remember, it's the fall swing. We got a lot of birdie fest. Yes. Don't be firing too much money off. I think like Matt said, you want to mess around with some bets, great, but dial back the unit size.
Don't lose all your damn NFL money.
Like
we know you made money this past week. So don't lose all your damn NFL money.
Yeah, if I went 5-0 in Circa, then everybody out there listening had to make some money.
Exactly. Like, don't lose all your damn money. So that's our parting.
What were road favorites? Favorites perfect or whatever last week?
Just that's all we're doing. Like, just don't lose all your damn money with it out there. Smalley, Power, and Schmid for me. Kelly, real quick.
I'm gonna add Power. I'm gonna say Power, Spawn, and Cole for me right now. I did bet Cam Davis, but don't bet him. Don't bet Cam. He's obviously gonna win now. I came on this. I bet him. I came on the podcast. I'm gonna tell people not to bet him. Now he's gonna win.
Absolutely love it. For Kelly Bidlin, I am Matt Brown. Good luck on all your Shriners bets.